Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. And let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful for this day. We do ask you that you would help us. Allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, please, to take the next few moments, Lord, and use them in our hearts and our lives. Take your written word, Father, find lodging there. May it change us. May that change, Lord, bring honor and glory to you. Lord, you clearly are worthy of that. And Lord, help us to live in such a way today that favorable attention is brought upon you and upon your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us to be careful to give you the thanks for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, looking for biblical principles for practical living. It looks like this morning we will wrap up chapter 23 and then move on from there. There are three principles I want us to look at this morning. Won't spend a lot of time on any one of these, but I think all of them will make sense, and I trust that all of us would be challenged by it and perhaps even be able to help somebody, a friend, with these challenges. The first one is in Proverbs 23:23. The Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Now, the principle here is pretty simple. Won't spend much time on it. But basically, God's teaching us here riches should be employed for the getting of knowledge rather than the knowledge for the getting of riches. Now, that seems pretty simple, but in our day and age in which we live, we have a society that is just completely money hungry. We live in particularly we Americans, and I'm sure it's worldwide, but we Americans especially, we're spoiled. We are absolutely spoiled. I'm not against living in America, and I'm all for it. And I'm just as spoiled as the next guy. I admit that. But I also understand that with all the blessings that we have in America, there are some, if you would, side effects. Just like medicine, there's some side effects and negative side effects of having the prosperity. And what happens if we're not careful, and many times I think many of us have fallen prey to this, we end up living to get rich, living to get more. We become dissatisfied. The sin of ingratitude can often be found in our lives, in our families, in our children. We're just not satisfied. We're not giving thanks for what God has given to us. We're always wanting something more, something bigger, something newer. And many of us have been affected by this. And yet God says, here's a very simple principle. We ought to spend the money we'd have to get wisdom, not spend the wisdom we have to get money. In other words, it ought not to be our motivation to get rich. It ought not be our motivation to have things. Now, obviously, we need things. We need homes and things like that. But we ought not to make that our goal in life. We ought not to set our affections on things that are temporal. But clearly, they ought to be set on things above. And most of us that are listening this morning, we'd all have to admit to ourselves, if we'll be honest with ourselves, that all of us have been, we've fallen prey to this idea of, I want more. I want something bigger. I want something newer. And sometimes, even when we least expect it, we are living in the sin of ingratitude. We're not giving thanks for what we have because we're too busy worrying about what we don't have, and we're trying to get it. And so may God help us to take the very simple wisdom, learning to be content, learning to be satisfied with what God has given to us, and use the wisdom that we have, or use the money that we have to get wisdom. In other words, buying books, buying materials, exposing ourselves to truth and more knowledge rather than taking the knowledge we have and simply using it only for the purposes of getting more things and more stuff or more money. I think the principle is pretty simple. May God apply it to each of us as he would find necessary this morning. And may we be yielded to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to our heart about this. Have we gotten sidetracked in the pursuit of money, the pursuit of things? Have our priorities gotten out of whack a little bit? And if they have, may God help us to see that, make amends, confess it, forsake it, and just make things right with the Lord. Let's drop down to verse 27 and 28, and then from there, verses 29 through 35, these are two vices that permeate our society today. As a matter of fact, both of these have a stronghold on our society, and unfortunately, The age group in which the stronghold is taking effect is getting younger and younger all the time. And the implication is it makes it that much more of a terrible thing for us as a society. The Bible says in verse 27 and 28, "For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men." Now, these two verses are simply, I would submit to us this morning, they're talking about Solomon's warning his son against getting involved in the sin of fornication or adultery. He's warning them, his sons, about that this sin, there are those who would seek out others. They're bent on getting others involved in their sin, in this type of sin. And the Bible says it's like a deep ditch. It's like a narrow pit. In other words, it's easy to get in, but not easy to get out. And this sin of impropriety, this sin of fornication, this sin of sexual abuse, sexual immorality is, boy, does it have a strong hold in our society or on our society. And ever more, it seems like younger and younger people are getting involved in these sins. We know that, you know, the birth rate that are given out of wedlock, divorces, broken homes, broken marriages, broken lives, because this sin is like that narrow pit. You can fall in it pretty easily, but you don't get out of it very easily. And so God's warning here is a principle. We need to stay away from that. We drop down to verses 29 through 35. The Bible says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at wine. They that go to seek mix wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth the color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of a sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Both of these portions of scriptures, we have the immorality, the whore is a deep ditch, a strange woman is a narrow pit. And then we drop down to verses 29 through 35, and we have the intoxication, beverage, drunkenness, alcohol, liquor. Both of these sins, both of these practices, boy, they have a stronghold in our society. We have a problem in society today with adultery, fornication, immorality. And of course, we know that the internet is used as a tool to enhance that and just to get people anonymity. People can go and they're not seen. They don't have to confront anything, anybody. They don't have to be seen doing anything. And so that anonymity gives them a sense of protection, false sense of protection. We see that alcohol is often a sin that does pretty much the same thing, same effects on the home, same effects on marriages, same effects with parents and children's relationships, the loss of income, loss of jobs, loss of health, car wrecks, expenses. Just both of these sins, both of these activities are not good for any society at all. And both of these sins and both of these activities are activities in which you and I as Christians are not, unfortunately, we're not so far removed that we couldn't become involved in these. We're still human beings. We're still in the flesh. The Bible says, "Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Well, these are sins of the flesh. Immorality, a sin of the flesh. Drunkenness, a sin of the flesh. Wanting to appease the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And so here are two warnings, if you would, two principles that we ought to give some serious attention to. And I have little doubt in my mind, but to be honest with you, I have no doubt in my mind that though there are those who are listening this morning who either one of these or both of these sinful activities has had an effect on your family life. Perhaps you're listening today and you're involved in the sin of immorality. Maybe you're struggling with alcoholism or drunkenness. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a relative. an aunt or an uncle or a good friend or a coworker. There's not a person who's not listening that's listening this morning that doesn't know somebody who has their life being wrecked by either one of these or perhaps even both of these types of activities. And may God help us to have wisdom and discernment this morning, that we as Christians, we need to beg God, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, there's no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. Paul said, the things I would do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. All of us, we're familiar with these because we're human beings. We are all in the same boat. We're all of flesh, and our flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all can testify to that. And may God give us wisdom and discernment this morning. And I pray, and I do honestly pray, that if you are involved in one of these sins, I just ask the Lord Jesus to help you. I pray that you would just awaken to the senses, the danger of it. May God give you victory. And if you have been involved, may you seek God's forgiveness. He will forgive. God will cleanse. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Seek God this morning. God still loves you. God hasn't stopped loving you if you've gotten involved in one of these sins. He loves you always the same. It never diminishes. It never increases. It's a perfect love. And God loves you this morning. He would that you'd come back into His fold if you've gotten away from Him. Confess it, forsake it, and take the measures necessary to protect yourself from this. If you're a parent, protect your children, guard the TV, guard the internet, guard all of those outlets in which the Satan and the world can use to tempt our young people to get involved in these things. These are sins that are just, boy, they're wreaking havoc upon our society. And may God give us wisdom and discernment this morning how to combat this and how to have victory. And God will, amen, God will. I remember hearing a message years ago, can God, and of course it was about, can God provide a table in the wilderness? And of course the answer is yes. But can God help us this morning with these sins? Absolutely He can. Absolutely He wants to. And may God help us. May God help us all. If we're in it, to get out of it. If we are not in it, to stay away from it. If we know somebody who's in it, may you pray for them, lift them up, help them. These are sins that are hurting people's lives, ruining people's homes. And may God help us to be instruments of righteousness to help our society, our families, and our lives. May God help us today. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.